Proverbs 28, look what verse 1 says. Just that one verse. Look what he says. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked are running and nobody's even chasing them. But you saw how when the Philistine Goliath came toward David, David ran to the battle. That's supernatural. You got a 12-foot guy charging you. You got a bag of rocks and a slingshot. No armor on to protect yourself, and you're running toward him full force. Why? He got no sin in the camp. Anybody sitting here that knows you got operative sin in your life, you're going to be weak. You're not going to come to the battle because you don't have the confidence, because you know instinctively, I'm back at the house masturbating all the time. And you'll never stand up with force, because you're going to, the devil going to project in your mind, how are you saying something or what you're doing? Notice sinners, the first thing they're going to confront you with is your past. You go back to the folk you were partying with and fornicating with and smoking dope. How are you going to tell somebody how to live? You remember when we, first thing out of your mouth. That's why you got to be clear from the consciousness of sin. Hebrews tells us it's a matter of the conscience. If I'm not guilty, if I'm not condemned, if I'm not ashamed, I got boldness, man. Because I got nothing to hide. I'm not doing anything wrong. But when you're doing something wrong, you immediately will be disempowered. You can't stand for anything. All you have to do to get power with God is read the Bible, believe the Bible, do what the Bible says, and stop being offended when God puts his finger on something you're doing that's contrary to the Bible. What do you have to do? Change. As soon as you hear it, you make up your mind, I'm changing right there. That's it. I'm not arguing, I'm not debating, I'm changing. The church has to come back under divine order because you have a military mind. This is a war. We're soldiers in the war. We are soldiers of light, and we're fighting an army of Philistines. I got to come up under proper military alignment and authority to have power against the devil. The devil wants to keep the church scattered, totally chaotic, full of anarchy, so we got no power. We can't have this boldness if we have compromise in the camp. If the compromise is in you, you'll never be bold. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at this divine order. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We got to get back to this right here for God to ramp up the power. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. The apostle can say this with confidence. I'm following Christ, so you're cleared to follow me because I'm just following Christ. So follow me as I am following Christ. When anybody detours away from following Christ, you're not authorized to follow them, because they just went crazy. Now I praise you, brothers, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Now he's telling them, you got ordinances in place. What's an ordinance? It's a rule. It's a governing rule that orders the environment. He says, keep the ordinances that I delivered unto you. You see the order in church? Church is an orderly organism. It's not chaotic at all. You got to get into an ordered, systematic body where the order is designed to mold you into the image of Christ for you to develop properly. God, in his word, says he takes the destitute, the disenfranchised, and rejection. And what does he do with them? He sets them in families. The church is nothing but the family of God in operation. Shepherds and pastors and elders and deacons are the governing headship of God's family, designed to provide guidance, discipline, and teaching to God's children for him. An under shepherd under Jesus Christ is designed to nurture and feed God's sheep. You need to be set in a family of believers. When you got wandering, disconnected sheep, you got anarchy and chaos. Now, everybody has a ministry. Everybody's got a logo and they got something that they made at some print shop that they stapled to the side of their car or pasted it on. And now they're a worldwide global apostle. I'm an apostle. My wife, my cousin, and my mother-in-law go to the church. And they're self-appointed, self-ordained apostles. Everything we're looking at is so crazy that it makes no sense. A person will go and get a little building that can seat 10 people and pay rent on it and call it the Church of the Most High, the Power Church of Atlanta or whatever. Everybody is trying not to be told what to do. They don't want to be under authority. And the way you do it is to set up your own ministry and say, God sent me to minister to fill in the blank. This is chaos. So God is now reeling back in a chosen people who are not offended by God's governing authority. And the calling card for real leadership is you wash everybody's feet. You're in servitude to everybody. People are being taught here that you serve people. That's your call. It's not for you to try to be over people and lord over them and oppress them. If we can switch that thing up and people begin to understand, ministry is servanthood. That's what you got. But how can you serve somebody that won't allow you to? A waiter can't serve you at a restaurant if you don't let him. That's why when Jesus was washing Peter's feet, Peter said, no, Lord, no, you can't wash my feet. Well, you won't let me minister to you, Peter. So therefore, you're not under my authority because you won't let me serve you. You see how ministry and servanthood is the calling card of Jesus? What does the world make it? You become the CEO. You become the head. You become the uplifted one. You become the one in the spotlight. It's diametrically opposed to God's church. When you really serve people, you become at the beck and call of the folks. You know, a lot of folk now, what will happen is this. A lot of folks who are into themselves, they don't let you serve them. They try to use you. That's a big difference. You know, somebody who's always in need. You said, do you ever bring anything to the picnic? Somebody brought ribs. Somebody brought chicken. Somebody brought the rolls. Somebody brought corn on the cob. Somebody brought hash browns. Somebody brought all this stuff. And all you brought was you and a fork. Is the food ready yet? I'm hungry. Look, man, do you ever contribute anything to anything? And then the first one to pack up everything and load it up in the back of that Volkswagen driving off. Got everything. Got basket of ribs and all kinds of stuff, hot dog buns and hamburger buns and all the potato pies all packed in the back of. And you didn't bring anything to the picnic, but you leave with everything. It's people like that. And then talk about what we having. Did you contribute anything? No. Well, we're not having anything. Now, over here, we're having something, but I don't know what you're having. They try to incorporate themselves in everything because they have the essence of the devil living in them. They want to just take without contributing anything. They really don't care how it got done. As long as I can eat. And food is always the calling card of the greedy. What are we going to eat? Well, I have my lunch here in my bag. I don't know what you're eating. Everyone brought their own lunch. Well, how many sandwiches you got? I got three sandwiches. Can I have one of them? Then you give them a sandwich, then they're over here. You got any chips? You got any dessert over here? Did you bring any drinks? Did you? Man, what is wrong with you? Have you ever accomplished anything in life? Have you ever written a poem? Can you paint? Can you draw? Have you ever taken up photography or any kind of skill? Can you change a tire? Can you? Saddest thing you ever see. I saw a guy one time riding with this lady in the car. She needed air in the tire. She got in the car, putting air in her tire. This joker sitting up in the car looking crazy. She had to put air in the tire, going to the hood, checking the oil. You know, I'm thinking, what kind of a woman is this? They've been taught to coddle a guy like he's a little girl, and they just carry him on their back. You got a duffel bag on your back, a backpack on your back. So look at this. He says, you keep the ordinance that I delivered unto you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, not every male, every man. And the head of the woman is the man, not every female, just a woman. See, you're not a woman until you got man as your head. You're a disaster without that, because you have no eyes. See, nobody can see for you because you got to have a head to see, have eyes. A man can't see without Christ as his head because he got no eyes to see with. So what do we have now? Independent, free-willing people that won't prescribe to this, and they walk around in total darkness, dumbed down and not knowing. The head of the woman is the man. You got to let that sink deep down into your spirit as a woman and settle it once and for all. Stop kicking against it. If you got a husband that's living right, trying to do what's right, get with him and become one with him and support him in everything he does. If you're a wife, let's say Dante and his wife is sitting there, and Dante is doing something and does it wrong, and her family jumps on him, I'm with him. He dead wrong. We'll get it straight back at the house. But for right now, while y'all jumping him, I'm with him. Well, girl, don't you see? I don't care what he did. I'm with him. I carry his last name. I had his kids. I'm with him. And let the whole world come against him, I'm standing with him. And people, you go, you crazy, girl. I won't let nobody have me brainwashed like that. Girl, you done went. Because the devil tries to destroy the home using your mama and your sisters and your auntie Nim. All Nim gonna come into your house trying to tear it apart, and you let Nim do it. You better let your auntie Nim go somewhere and have yourself a husband and peace back at your house. Because a lot of these folks jealous of you anyway, because you got a decent guy and they done had five or six of them and walking around crazy. That's the way the church has to be. Any disparities in the church, we sell it in-house, but the world don't sell us nothing about no church folk. We're with them against you. If they did something wrong, the church will get it right, but you got nothing to say about it because you're an uncircumcised Philistine. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying having his head covered is under his head. So when you out there with your pastor as your covering as a man, you dishonor Christ. That's what he's talking about. You under some man talking about my pastor and my covering, now you a gal. Because you just decapitated Christ from you, and you got don't have Christ as your head. But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. What's he addressing? He's addressing the customs in this church. The women veiled themselves to show they were submitted to proper authority. He says if you take that veil off, it's like you just shaved your head according to the custom right here. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn or shaved. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shaved or shorn, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Women are designed to be reflectors. You want to know what a man is? Look at his wife. If you're dressing like a 10-cent whore and a 42nd Street prostitute, that's telling you about him. You will reflect a man as a woman. If you begin to degrade in the world and become whorish, it's because you're trying to live up or down to the expectations of the guys. They like us in these yoga pants and all my breast out. And the men, this is what they want. So I'm here for the men because that's what they want to see. You have just conformed to a renegade man. You'll do it all by yourself. Nobody has to tell you. It's built into a woman to conform to what men want. All by itself, it will happen. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the women to have power over on her head because of the angels. What's he talking about? Angels understand divine order. They will respond to us if we get in order. They won't respond to chaos. You got to be in order for the angelic host to operate. Satan has a kingdom set up in undivine order, but it's ordered. You won't get disparities and a bunch of junk in Satan's kingdom because he knows the power of unity. He knows how it functions, and that's how he set up a parallel kingdom to war against God. He ordered it just like it was. He was a cherubim. He knows the order of God. He's a head angel. He just took the paradigm of heaven and moved it over into evil. He's a functioning commander over an organized army. And the church has over 3,000 or 4,000 denominations. With all these different discombobulated belief systems and all this doctrine everywhere, and we're trying to come against an organized, structured kingdom. Won't happen, man. We got to get back to divine order. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? First thing you do with long hair, if you're a man and you read that, go get a haircut. Well, I don't think it's, well, okay, well, you ain't in it. He just told you it's a shame for you to have long hair. Get a haircut. Well, you know, that's girl in you. You got covering over your head like a woman, and you resist the word of God. Because the gal in you, the demon gal, is trying to effeminize you. And here you are prissing around with all this long hair and two earrings on, asking your wife, have you seen my earrings and the back of my earring before we go? I can't find my earring. You in the mirror like this, with your wife next to you. Can you get this? Can you put down the back for me there? Can you slick down the side of my hair? Put that gel on my side of my hair. Slick it back. Okay, let's go on out here. Let's go. I told you I was in the barbershop. A guy was in there getting a roller set in the barbershop. I started to go out to my car and get my back. Backing up, people all backed up in the barbershop waiting on this clown getting a roller set. Why don't you go to the beauty parlor? This is a barbershop. We cut hair in here. A roller set, man? And that got his hair permed. I'm asking the barber, why are you perming? I'll slap you and him. What's wrong with you? Sissy spirits clog up the arteries. You trying to go out to war. You think we really need to? Have you seen my gun? What time we go out to war? Do you think it's right to fight this war? I don't know if we should fight this war yet because I don't know. I don't believe that the Lord has called us to be in war. Look, man, look. Leave us alone, man, please. This is pathetic what we got. Stop being a prissy, curly, cute guy with all this hair and junk on your head. Get a haircut, man. Get a crew cut, a scaldy, baldy. Get a fade. Get anything, man. Just get that mess off of your head. Folk don't like this. Because they in church, musicians up there with all this stuff draped down their back, just up there playing the guitar, and everybody just shouting and dancing. The preacher come up there with all this stuff draped down his shoulders and preaching. And, oh, that's just the devil. Why do I know that? Because the man just said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. You read it, believe it, you do it. It's that simple. This ain't rocket science. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Now he addresses the whole custom of wearing a veil. Look what he says. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. He told you that God, through natural order, tells a man, just shave your head, man. A woman grows her hair long, she's covered. If anybody want to argue about a custom of wearing veils, we don't have a custom of wearing veils. So don't make it an argument. If somebody wants to wear a veil, that's none of my business. I don't care. If you don't wear a veil, I don't care. Because it's not a custom, it's not an order coming from God. But he tells you explicitly that nature even teaches you. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. There's no natural inclination in a man to want to have long hair. It's got to be put in you by a demon that wants you to be effeminate. And look at them everywhere. They bought into the devil's projection of what manhood is. And then if you're not ready to let that demon go, you know what you'll do? Go on the defense. Well, I don't want to get under the law about nothing now, you know. I don't see nothing wrong with long hair, and that's legalistic. That's girl in you, man. The only deliverance you're going to go through is getting girl out of you as a man and getting man out of you as a woman. When the fall came, it perverted gender identity. All gender specificity was eradicated in the fall. And now you're suffering through having a girl's soul in you as a man and a man's soul in you as a woman. And that's the warfare that you're fighting. And that mixed up, upside down kingdom is the seat of Goliath. It fights with you, argues with you, not to become a man, not to become a woman. And the devil feeds that spirit all day long, all day long. Trying to get women to rise up over authority and men to succumb to being docile, effeminate little wimps that have no authority. And that war is fought all day long. What's happening? When you clear through all of this mess, when you finally break free of all of it, you get the confidence to stand and fight once and for all. You'll go out against Goliath and you'll go off with force because you know God is backing me up. I took his word, I believed it, and it conformed me to it, and I've been transformed. So now you've got confidence. The Bible says the wicked flee and nobody's even chasing them. But those that know their God, those that know God in a deep way, they'll be bold as a lion and stand at all cost. We didn't come to Atlanta for this conference to send people back home the same. We want you to come here to understand the times and the seasons we live in. We're in a world right now that has the uncircumcised Philistine looking at you, telling you, you're going to bow the knee to our gods. We are going to come against your Bible, your God, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and you will not open your mouth against us. You won't say a mumbling word. Not me. You know what? You reach a point in your life where you're better off dead than to bow the knees to the devil. I'd be better off dead than bow the knee to the devil. I'd rather die with my boots on than to bow the knee to a sodomite. A sodomite spirit standing over you as a man, telling you I'm the same thing as you are. Moving next door to you, sodomizing a guy every night, and that guy's the same thing as you are. His sodomite lover is the same thing as your wife. I'm not gonna let anybody stand over me telling me a bunch of dumb down foolishness and I stay quiet about it. I look folk in the face all the time and tell them you crazy. You are crazy if you believe that trash. You voted this trash in the office and now you're trying to defend it. You went to the voting booth and put it in office. Anybody could have seen what this was coming down the trail. Why did you go for it? Well, he was black. I wanted somebody black. Kiwi shoe polish black. I wanted black, a black something in there. Now you in a black world with a black mess on your black hands. That's why you gotta lose racial identity. A lot of folk ain't shook out being black. You can't get ahead being black. Like Sidney Poitier told him, and guess who coming to dinner? His daddy telling him, you can't marry this white woman. You black man, you a black this, you a black this, you a black that. He said, Dad, let me tell you something. You see yourself as a black man. I see myself as just a man. Don't let the devil put all these limiters on your mind, assigning you some kind of an identity on the earth. Man, you transcend all of this when you get saved. We got to go to a higher place of living. Still engaged and bound by ethnicity, my black heritage. Man, you ain't from here. This thing here is a stronghold in people's minds. It's got to be broken. You can't go out to war if you got any prejudices in you. You can't go to war if you're limited in your thinking. Now to them, I'm a traitor. The Hebrew Israelites sees me as a traitor. The blue-eyed devils, that's the one that did us in. And now you come in here trying to defend them. And you call yourself a man of God. Man, hatred is bad, man. Hatred is a bitter thing. Hatred will rotten your insides out of you. I found it in the military real fast. I had black roommates, white roommates, Hispanic roommates. And I found out something. You may not try to judge this thing according to race. Because I had some white roommates that would give me the shirt off of their back. I had some black guys that were stealing my stuff. You walk in the room talking about trying to find, is any black people in here? I'm the only black person. See, you still black. I don't feel comfortable around all these folks. Ain't no black people here. This ain't the right church for me. Ain't no black people here. Let me leave. I walk around, man, just living. I don't care nothing about none of that junk. You better stop limiting things. I mean, he's a traitor because he married a white woman. That don't have nothing to do with me or you. That ain't none of your business. We got to get over a whole lot of mental programming and brainwashing that has undermined the church's ability to go to war. If you get that bonus in you and you go out there, why would you back down? When you have settled the thing and God is backing me up, I ain't gonna take the back seat to nobody. I'm gonna go right up front, get up in there and live. Watch out, you try this out. You go in any environment and take for granted you belong, just going all into there. Ain't nobody gonna bother you. Well, you go in there. They're gonna ask you, what do you want? You don't belong here. Your room is over there. Get out of here. So you go in there acting like, hey, don't get my nothing. No, that's the food over there. You go to fish in your plate. Just. Just whistling as you go. You're just crazy. Folk don't bother you then because they think, oh, they must be in charge. You know what they're doing. And that must be the official that's here to. That's how you act, you know. You start telling people stuff. Hey, move that over there. Hey, bring that over here. You here. Hey, you over here. And you don't know nothing about nothing, but you just out there just walking around like, who put this here? Move this. You gotta find out. The devil don't know what he's doing. The devil blowing smoke. He don't know. He's a fool. He ain't connected to God. talk blowing smoke. What am I going to sit down across Oprah Winfrey? She's talking all the Oprah, that's crazy what you're saying. That don't even make no sense. Ain't no God in you. Ain't no higher self. You going to hell. You keep saying that crazy mess, girl. Are you for real? Your mama didn't raise you like that. That's how you got to be. People think T.D. Jakes is eloquent. Hey, Jakes, let me tell you something, man. Why you let that man lay his hands on you and go out into power? Tyler Perry knocking you down. That looks so stupid, man. You let that homosexual spirit knock you out. Jakes, go somewhere. Sit down right here and shut your mouth. See, you got to see, y'all ain't out there. See, you know what your problem is? You ain't out there far enough. You got to be out here, man, way out. Well, people just looking at you like, I can't believe it. Did they really say what I thought they said? Just repeat it again. The devil is blowing smoke. The devil knows I done messed up. See, that's how the devil thinking. I was up there right next to the throne. Cherubim angel, I had it made. Like a fool. I started looking around, talking, but I'm going to exalt my throne above his. And I'm going to lead the rebellion. And I saw God after I fell. I saw him make a lake of fire for us. See, the devil saw this happening. The Bible said the lake of fire wasn't in existence all the time. The Bible said he made it for the devil and his angels. And he's thinking like, why he making that pit? No, I done messed up. He done made a lake of fire, a pit of fire. Oh, Lord. You don't understand how nervous the devil is. When you start casting out devils, you find the devil scared of you. And you find out, when you got a joker scared of you, you feel like, oh, he's scared. Oh, okay. First time I cast out a devil, I was in there kind of shaking, man. I was in there like, come out. I said, come out. Come out. I was like, Barney Fife. Devil, if you would you please come out, please? I beseech thee, please come out. You know, your hand, pull your gun and shoot yourself, put it back in the hole and shoot yourself in the toe and stuff. You know, scared to death. But the first time the devil said, I got that joke. I got that joke. Hold up. That joke crying and stuff. Let me flex. Come out of it. Might well go for broke now. The joker done got scared. I might well just. That's how you got to do this. All these folks talking that big talk. Your mama talking all big to you. Oh, look, you ain't never been nothing and you done went to this little stupid mess. You in a cult. Let me tell you something, mama. I'm going to tell you this one time you get this straight. I serve the living God. And ain't no devil going to stand in my face. People don't like me calling the devil sin. You and the devil you serving will never do a disgrace to God and a disservice to God. You're not going to come at me like that. You better get this straight in your head, mama. I'm going to tell you one time and one time only. You better back off me. Your mom looks at you like, this girl done gone crazy. That's how you got to be. Sitting there just cowering and your mama says and you just shook all up. Man. My mama Jeff was talking so mean. I don't know what to do. I'm just hurting my heart. That's the devil flexing on you because he think you weak. You know what your problem is? Go spend some time with God. You come out from around God different. I ain't playing with nobody. You bathe yourself in praise and worship for a week. You come out of that thing, you just like, ain't no telling what I might do. I'm gonna do something. I'm looking for something to do. I'm looking for somebody. I'm gonna hurt somebody around here. I'm gonna do something. Somebody better do something with me. Cause your spirit will be at a feeble pitch. You'll be like, you can feel that thing turning over inside of you. And you go out there, man. I first got saved. God took me up to in Illinois in an Air Force barracks, 40 days and 40 nights. I was fasting. Man, I was gone. I was all right. I was feeling good. Everything was lovely. You know, the trees got greener. The grass got greener. The sky got bluer. You know, all this stuff happened to you when you're really saved. Guy invited me to church, little church down in southern Illinois, in a little farm community. All white church. I was the only black guy in there. Everybody kept coming to give us testimony talking about pray for my strength in the Lord. I got an unspoken request, and my aunt's sick, and my boy, he in jail, and had about 10 of them folk go through it. You know, I was burning up. I had the Holy Ghost just rolling in me, because I had been going on that fast too, and I was sitting on green. About that 11th person got up. Church was packed full of all these white people. You know, I'm the only guy, the only black guy probably within 30 miles of that place. Because it was like a farm community out in rural Illinois, you know. I said, let me tell y'all something. All this negativity and all your words are cursing you. Because all you're talking about is what the devil's doing to you. There's a living God that can do anything. Why are you here glorifying the devil? You people need to step up higher. And girl, I had been saved 6 months. I was gone. I was leaving the church. Two old white women came to me. We've been praying for a guy like you to come through here. We've been listening to that junk for the last year. I said, that's right, ma'am, I'm here. I'm crazy. Don't worry any longer. I'm here. I'm on the spot. I've been called into this. A few weeks later, I went to a little church in Champaign, Urbana, right where the University of Illinois is. Sitting in church, you know, everybody was in a black church. There was Holy Ghost church, you know, holiest church. After the church, I went to the preacher. I said, listen, I need your church for 3 days. I got to run something. I got to run a revival. I was 6 months. I've been saying 6 months. I was crazy. You know what he said? What days you need? I said, I need Friday, Saturday, and I'll wrap it up Sunday. I didn't know what I was doing. I was gone. I knew two scriptures probably. First sermon I ever preached. Know what it was? You, the devil, and God. And boy, that third day, that church blew up. Oh man, it was just like, I said, dog, this thing worked. This is beautiful. I thought everything worked like that. But God brought me back to Atlanta. They had to settle me back down. You know what I'm saying? Because if I stayed like that, see, the devil would have set me up. Because you'd been lifted up in pride because you thought you were the guy. So then he got to temper you and bring you back down and cut you back down. But God wasn't mad at you. He's saying, you know what? Joker like him. If I get that joker right, I can use him. Because he'll do it. See, some folk think about what they do and imagine things. Very few people will do it. If I'm sitting in the church and I know that joke in the pulpit line, it's just a matter of time before I'm going, hey, man. See, somebody got to stand up in the middle of church and say, hey, look, this is a bunch of junk. You better know God, and then you and God told you to do it now. Because they'll kill you. But we're coming to the point of total conflict. We come to the point where these situations got to be addressed. God got to find a person, a vessel. He don't care if it's male or female. He need a vessel fit for the master to use. Why do we keep sitting here listening to somebody you know that's crazy? And you just sit there taking it, just, man, I'm just leaving church depressed. Every time I leave, man, ain't nothing happening. Everybody giving honor to God. Giving honor to the pastor, the first lady, giving all those announcements, all that junk, same song, same dead mess, and just sitting there. At some point, we need to call out of the masses, the real body of Christ, to stand up against the establishment. The only reason people like Donald Trump is because he don't cow down to nobody. You talk against him, he coming right back at you. Let Hillary Clinton attack him. You watch what he tell Hillary Clinton. Well, I remember back in the 90s with your husband laid up in the Oval Office with Lewinsky. That mess y'all was cooking up there, and you defending him, and you want to lead the nation? Are you serious? You need to call her Crooked Hillary. That's what he called her now. You people looking at him like, this joke is wild, but you know what people will do? I'm following this joke. Because he'll do something about something. All this tolerance. Look at the devil's words. Tolerance. Diversity. all this junk to tolerate the devil. Because the devil is trying to undermine confrontation. Why don't you get with God and get some guts, man, and confront the devil? You're going to find that joker going to cow down to you if you for real. If you spent time with God like David did, if you've been out in that field with those sheep playing that harp, man, you're going to come in there as bold as a lion. The wicked will flee when nobody's chasing them. But those that know their God will do exploits and be bold as a lion in the midst of adversity. You will stand on the word of God. Let the winds blow. The Bible says you build that house on sand. You put it on some kind of wood or stubble, it's going to blow over. But you build that house on a rock, it's going to stand, man. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. It ain't going to be no gray areas around me. Somebody right, somebody's wrong. It ain't going to be no conformity or compromise. You got to make your stand, and having done all to stand, the Bible says, stand therefore. You got on truth around your loins. You got a breastplate of righteousness on. You got your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You got a helmet of salvation and hope on. You got in one hand a shield of faith, the other hand a sword of the spirit, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Man, you got some heat. You got some power. Why should you back down when God is backing you up? What are you turning tail and running for when you come in the name of God? He sent you in here to do the job. Man, it's hope as long as I'm around. That's how you got to see it. I am the ambassador for God. I'm the one sent to do the job. I'm not listening for helps and aids and crutches. I'm here. Yeah. Isaiah saw a glimpse of God. He said, man, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst people with unclean lips and unclean hands. I can't do nothing for God. The Bible said an angel took a coal from the fire before the altar of God and flew to Isaiah and put that coal on his lip. So you've been purged from all your iniquity, man. Then Isaiah turns around and said, you know what? Here am I. I'm the guy. Send me in. I'm going in myself. Stop looking to be with somebody. Stop looking for props and aids. You do it yourself. You see wrong that's being done on the job. You know they did that woman wrong. I'm going to talk to somebody. That ain't right what y'all doing to this woman. Well, you're going to try to, look, I'm telling you, Mr. Johnson, right now. You're going to pay for what you're doing to this woman. You're going to reap what you sow. You fired that woman unlawfully. And your family going to pay for it. Your kids going to pay for it. Your wife going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. You're going to reap what you sow. I don't want to hear that. I don't care what you want to hear. I'm telling you, right is right and wrong is wrong. God is sending you into some places, man, because he's going to try you and test you to see if you're going to live what you're saying. Anybody can stay sitting here and sing. There is no one greater, no one greater, no one like our God. There is just crying and weeping and singing. You're going to say, okay, ain't nobody greater than me. I'm with you. Let's go in here and do this. I was just singing. I didn't believe what I was singing. I was just singing. I was just singing an old Negro spiritual. I didn't know it was real. I'm so glad. I long every day. I tell God every day two words. Let's go. Let's just go. How many of you got five people? Let's go with them. A couple of guys. Go with them. A woman and a couple of guys. Go with them three people. Let's just go. Why can't we just go? Why not just go? Why can't we just go? I pray that prayer every day. I wake up. First thing I say, let's just go. Let's just launch. What are we waiting on? Well, there's some more people. They'll catch up. They'll catch up later. Let's just go in. Because you get tired of that junk being dictated to you all day. And you know it's crazy. At some point, somebody will say, you know what? I'm going to fast and pray. I'm going to bombard him so bad. I'm going to bug God so bad. He's going to have to do something. That's the way God is. If you keep bugging God, you got to do something. You got to get some relief down here. we will give you no rest until you pour out blessings and rain upon this earth. God, you won't rest. You will get no rest. You're going to hear words all day long coming up to you about doing something about this. There's no way you can get all these people sitting here and this thing not geometrically replicate itself. If you become the person on the scene, Johnny on the spot, I'm doing this myself. That's what you got to be. If you got the Philistine yelling at you, why should you back down when God is backing you up? I came in the name of the Lord of hosts. What am I backing down for? Think about the mindset we got. The world, see how bold they are? Jay-Z, when he raps real loud. They got microphones blasting what they're saying. Shameful what they're doing and saying. And they just bold and brazen and bad about it. And the poor little miserly Christian over there. Praise the Lord. How you doing? The Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Man, come on, man. I'm about to lose my lunch looking at you. It's time to go ahead on and get fired up again. Get that turbine turning again. You know what's wrong with everybody? You need to stir up that gift that was imparted to you. You remember when you first got saved? How that engine turned on? And man, that thing was like an inferno just burning inside of you. I got saved for 7 days. I slept with a Bible on my stomach, laying in the bed, crying half the time and with a Bible, because my stomach was on fire like somebody dropped a torch inside of me. I used to tell God, I can't take this. I can't even work. I'm at work. I can't even work. My mind can't get on this mess. I don't even know what I'm reading. I don't even know what I'm doing. Man, I need to go do something. I'm going to explode. Somebody better get this off of me. Then they gave me the night shift. I was in the Air Force Station, the Dobbins Air Force Base out here in Marietta, Georgia. I was a weather forecaster. I had the authority at night to run the shift, me and another guy. He left at 11 o'clock. I stayed about 2 in the morning. That thing was on me, man. I used to go out on the runway, walking between them F-15s and F-16 fighters, C-130 transport planes, walking through them planes, man, B-1 bombers and all kind of stuff out there, walking through them. I was preaching my guts out, man, crying like a baby on the runway. The guy at SP's over there, locked and loaded, M-16, looking at me. Ain't that joking? That's crazy. Empty runway on the Air Force Base, walking between them planes. Man, I was gone. I had to talk. I had to say something. The prophet says, you know what? I get so much conflict when I speak for God and everybody against me. I'm not talking for God anymore. I'm not saying another word for God. I'm sick of all the reproach I bear for God. I'm going to shut my mouth. And the man says, but you know what? This thing is like a fire. Shut up in my bones. God has spoken. I can just prophesy. I got to talk to somebody. If I just got to talk to myself, I preach myself into a coma, driving down the street by myself. I got to talk to somebody.
Thank you, Jesus.
I preach myself out of depression. I preach myself out of hopelessness. I preach myself out of despair. Man, I got to talk to somebody about this thing. It's a burning fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Man, how you stay so dormant? How you stay so calm around Almighty God? I got to talk to somebody. That's how you get the turbine spinning. You begin to pour that word out into people, man, you're going to find that thing going to begin to turn on, man, because you're stirring up the gift with your own mouth.
Yes.
When you pour out, he fills you back up. When you dam him up, the river starts flowing. It's a dynamo in you, a self-replenishing dynamo, but you got to give out. You got to talk. You got to speak it out. You got to find yourself somebody that needs the Lord. Got all these questions, got all these problems. I am your answer.
Amen.
I tell people confidently, God sent me to you. I'm your answer. I know what I'm talking about. I never doubt that I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about. You know why? Because I know God. And I believe wherever I stand up and wherever I speak up, he will put the words in my mouth. He says you go before presidents and judges and kings. Don't even think about what you're going to say. Because the same hour you stand up, God's going to speak up. Why should you back down? Because the God that's living in you is backing you up. And if you step up for him, he's going to stand up in you and operate through you. Everybody want to know if they got the gifts? Put them to the test and see. Get yourself out there in deep water and see what he'll do.
Yes, Lord.
How are you going to ever know with assurance until you step out that boat?
Yes.
Laugh at Peter all you want about sinking. Good buddy, he stepped out and he walked on that water. One thing about the rest of your 11, y'all laughing at me about sinking. But one thing I'm laughing at you about is this. You ain't never walked on water. I walked on some water. I'm stepping out there, man, to see. Let's see. The Lord says, look, come and try me. Prove me and see. Come and test me and see. Won't I do it? You'll never have the confidence that God will do anything until you personally have tried him.
That's right.
And you've seen him work through you.
That's right.
It ain't glamorous. It ain't in the headlights, man. It ain't in the spotlight. You get confidence when you know, man, I was in a tight place and God came through. This thing is real, but you've got to be tried in the fire. It's time for you to stand up. And why should you back down when God is backing you up? If you would, stand to your feet, please. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, the Bible says, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God is not going to give you a gift and take it back. Did you not know that a lot of sin you committed was because of the gift in you? Did you know that? A lot of women think that guys are attracted to them because they're pretty. They're not attracted because you're pretty. They're attracted because of the gift. You got a magnetic drawing power that's outside of how you look. You just don't know it. The gifts and the callings are without repentance. Even in sin, the gift will work. You are a top-notch drug dealer because you had the gift. A lot of these big-time rappers, they got the gift. Whitney Houston had a gift given from God. That wasn't a person that could sing normally. That was supernatural singing. The gifts and the callings are without repentance. Now you got to sanctify the gift. And just like God gave Isaac to Abraham, when he gives you a gift, what's he telling you? Give it back. Consecrate it back to me. Sanctify the gift. So it's for my use and my service and not yours. You can take a gift and become glamorous and a star without God. But buddy, when you consecrate that gift, when you give that gift back to him, it's going to replicate itself and many will be blessed and many will come to him and many will be born again because you're a vessel fit for him to use because you gave the gift back. Stop hoarding the gift for you. Turn loose of the gift and let it bless other folks. Some of y'all standing right here can sing and won't get up on the praise team. Musicians can play and lurk in the shadows. Man, it's time to consecrate the gift and give it back. Gifts of administration all around us, all kinds of stuff around us. And folks just sit, train to be in a congregation, sitting in theater style seating and watching somebody. And the gift lies in you dormant. That's pitiful. That's a crying shame. It's time to consecrate that gift and let God ramp it up to full power and use that gift for his glory. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, raise your hands, please. I pray for these right here, right now, that you would consecrate the gift in them and raise them up to a higher place. I break through the limitations on their minds in Jesus' name. Everywhere the devil has put in any kind of condemnation, any guilt, any shame, conscious of the sin I committed, conscious of my shortcomings in life, I eradicate that debris, that cholesterol that blocks up the spiritual arteries. God, reach down into the belly. The Bible says, out of your belly there will flow a river of living water. You're not coming to oppress and suppress and oppress and push people down. You're wanting to lift them up higher. Come up higher to a higher place. God, in Jesus' name, release these people from all bondages and all limitations. Let the gift now stir up in them to full capacity. Stir up the gifts in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, come upon them. It's not enough to be filled with water. You gotta have that water turned to wine. Water is poured in to cleanse. Wine is poured out to refresh. God, stir up the gift. In Jesus' name. Let them go home different. Let them be around people different. When they come into rooms, let the demons cry out. Man, God just walked in that door. I see an inferno burning in that prison, a man and a woman on fire. The Bible says he makes his ministers flames of fire. That devil ain't yelling because of you. He's yelling because that burning inferno just walked in, bathing you with the power of God. Man, it's time to stir up the gifts. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Stir it up. Stir it up. Raise it up. Sick of negativity. Sick of limitations. Sick of being told what I can't do. Go to the back of the bus. I'm sitting in the front seat of the bus. I'm driving the bus. What you bowing down for and cowing down for? The devil is a liar. While it's nasty, people got the spotlight. Yelling in your face and spitting in your face. And you got the back seat in the car. No, man. No. It's not going down like this. It's time to stir up the body of Christ. It's time to send these people out as soldiers of light, knowing who I am in Christ. And I will proclaim the wondrous works of the Lord, and I will be used by God in these last days. God, you place all kinds of gifts in this woman. In the name of Jesus. It's time to stir up these gifts in Jesus' name and take her up to a higher place. In the name of Jesus. Stir up the gifts. Man, it's a lot of folks to be saved. It's folks to be healed. It's folks to be delivered in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Stir up these gifts. Stir up these gifts. Stir up these gifts. God, she's got a meek and quiet spirit. She got a womanly, matronly spirit. And you can use her right now in the name of Jesus to be an example to a lot of women. In the name of Jesus, stir up the gift in her. Stir up the anointing in her. Stir up the confidence in her. In Jesus' name. Man, the high value she has, the prayer power she has, the anointing that rests on her. In the name of Jesus, stir her up to a fever pitch. Stir her up to maximum potential. In the name of Jesus. The laying on the hands of the presbytery can stir up the gifts, God, in the name of Jesus. Limited, I refuse to be limited. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this time of fellowship these last 3 days. Thank you for the guests that came in town. Thank you that the body of Christ is forming up as a mighty army, and soldiers of light are being equipped. to carry the messages to the nation. God, consecrate everyone here, dedicate them, seal them up by your spirit, and give them boldness like a lion to do the works of God. In this last name we pray it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's going to wrap up the Soldiers of Light Conference, y'all, this year. But we'll be back again. Start making plans this evening when you get back home. Because it'll be here in like 2 days. Like I said, we're looking for a resort beach location next year. Planning a little vacation time around it. It's going to be 4 days this time, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. With meetings Friday evening, Saturday evening, and Sunday. So all day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, we got free time to fellowship and get to know people better. As we get closer to the end, it's going to be very important to know people better. It's people you can call, prayer partners, people you know to fellowship with, that you can stand together with on the same page. Because it's going to be heavy going in. If you call here, you know the plan to raise up the first of its type, 24-hour day tabernacle. David tried to build it, couldn't. Solomon built it. It was immaculate. Welcoming the presence of God to abide there as the people worship him by day and by night. This thing is real. It's powerful. We're going to go next door to eat, and we'll let Roy serenade us over next door as we're eating. We had a guy playing the jazz last night. We'll let Royce give us some Caribbean flavor today. Okay, and Rashid gonna be taking pictures by the banner. But before we do, we're gonna move this big screen and have everybody come up front for one group picture. We always make one group picture for the conference. Also, if you're down in Florida, my wife and I will be down there Wednesday down in Fort Lauderdale. And we like to get together and go out to dinner with people. If you're down from that area, let us know and we'll try to get to dinner and go out to dinner one night. We're down there from Wednesday through Saturday. So Thursday or Friday night, go out to dinner. So we usually eat with Fritz and Marisol and Carolyn when we're down there. But if there's anybody else from that area, we'll be down there this Wednesday. So let's do a group picture, then we'll go next door for the luncheon, the brunching, or whatever you call it. It's almost over, man.
Yeah, almost.
Hey, you ready?
Are they able to slide that table over just a little bit? Is that possible?
Hey, Sheree.
Hey,
what's going on? How you doing? You all right?
Yeah, excuse me. Mm-hmm.